Good morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live in his office at home. It is Monday, May 4th. Fellow nerds, may the 4th be with you. Big news from the weekend, obviously, and the news that you were all on the edge of your seat about all weekend long, I'm quite certain, was the painting. It is complete, as you can tell. Peep yellow is no more. The yellow walls are gone. They have been replaced by a color Sherwin-Williams calls on the rocks. I call it gray. We'd originally picked a color called rhinestone. It was too blue, kind of looked like a bathroom. Went with on the rocks. So that might be how you like your adult beverages. That might be most of a poison song. I don't know. Anyway, the room is painted. It is done. The project is complete, 2.5 years late, but complete nonetheless. So we can move forward. You no longer have to look at those horrible yellow walls behind me during these daily quarantine videos. I did this for you. I hope you understand that. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast for Monday, May 4th, once again. It is brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Stability Plus. Want to remind you once again, if you're looking for a great dinner and to support our local businesses, once again, the 6th Street Dive in Lafayette, East End Grill in Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette and West Lafayette and all over the place. Bruno's and the Whitaker Inn are all open for carryout orders. I'm quite certain they would love to hear from you, so please keep them in mind. We've been taking soliciting feedback for potential topics for this little daily monologue I'm doing. And we had a question from a reader about what impact all of this is having on the 2021 football recruiting year. And I figured I would talk about that today. I think, first of all, the obvious impact is guys are much more likely to decide earlier than they were before. Purdue at the moment, just to use Purdue to put a face on this, Purdue typically, under Jeff Brohm, hasn't really gotten many commitments until June 1st. That's when they really kind of, whether it's them ramping it up or whether it's just happening organically, that's when the new NCAA official visit structure takes hold. That's usually when things heat up for Purdue. Purdue has gotten scores of commitments the last couple of years in June. This year they have 7 commitments before May. And that's a much accelerated pace based on past precedent. And I think you can look at Purdue and extrapolate that around the country and recognize that the fact that these guys, because they can't take visits in the spring, and to a lesser extent, don't know when they're going to be able to take official visits, are just saying to hell with it and committing. They're going based on the information they have at hand at the time. We all know that football commitments especially are only worth the oxygen that it takes for them to articulate that commitment to the coaches that are accepting it. Everything can change on every kid at all times, but I think guys are making earlier decisions than they would have otherwise, clearly. And I think that stands to reason. I think that's something when you knew, hey, the spring is broken this year in football recruiting, you could have figured that was going to happen. But Purdue is way ahead of its historical trending this particular year, and I would anticipate that continuing on through the summer. Purdue could have double-digit commitments before June if things shake out the right way with a couple of guys here. Purdue normally, if they had double digits by September, that would be about the pace that they're normally on. But the football recruiting process in general is a runaway train at this point. Everything is happening much faster than it used to happen, and now this is only making it happen even faster. I do think college football is well on its way to a September 1st signing date. I think that would have happened anyway without this, but this is just kind of a dress rehearsal, I think, for perhaps things happening even faster and faster throughout in the years to come. Whether that's healthy or not in football, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily healthy in basketball all the time. Football is a different animal because guys develop at a different rate. You're looking for a certain measure of physical readiness too before you can really have any idea what a player is going to be. So it's harder to offer a guy as a sophomore than it is in basketball. That doesn't mean nobody's doing it, but it is just harder. You're working with less information. Information is another huge, huge, huge impact of all that's going on right now in football recruiting. There was no spring evaluation period. There will not be a spring evaluation period. The NCAA's extended its recruiting dead period through May 31st. That means no visits, no off-campus recruiting, any of that stuff. There would have been a spring evaluation period, which is relatively important in the whole evaluation game. There almost certainly will not be camps in June. The dead period runs through May 31st. It's really hard to see that lifting and then all of a sudden everybody getting their camp operations up and running. It is even harder to foresee players not doing a whole lot from a football perspective other than working out on their own and then coming out to a camp in June. That just seems like a bad idea. It seems you would have to have your plans in place by now, too, because you have to travel to get to these camps, and it would be really hard to make any sort of plans at this point, having no idea what's happening. So coaches will see players far less from an evaluation perspective in person than they would during a normal recruiting cycle. That will lead to bad evaluations. That will lead to some really good players falling through the cracks and getting signed by somebody random very late in the process. That's just the reality of it, is when there's no evaluation, you make more mistakes and you miss more guys and somebody else is the beneficiary down the line. That's just the reality of it. That being said, also, it goes both ways, because we've talked about guys making earlier and earlier decisions this cycle. Well, they're doing it based on less. When you can take an official visit somewhere and you can spend 48 hours on a campus, you can be around the players you're going to be playing with, you can be around the coaches, you can meet them face to face, you can sit down with them, you can break bread with them, to use a hoity-toity term for eat dinner. And you just know what you're getting into better. You can actually walk into the classrooms you're going to be attending class in. You can actually see the weight room. You can do things like that. And you're making your decision based on the best information available to you. And you're not doing that right now because you can't. And you wonder if some of these early commitments won't turn out to be kind of flimsy. Or if there's a good number of guys out there just making reservations. And just they're scared. They don't know what's happening. They're antsy, they're bored, and they're just committing somewhere, and they'll figure it out later. The less substance that goes behind a commitment, both on the school's end and the player's end, the flimsier that commitment's going to be, the more likely that commitment is going to dissolve, the more likely that commitment is going to yield very little in the long term. Just a far, far, far from ideal situation for both sides in football recruiting. I don't think I have to tell you that. That's fairly evident. When nothing is going on and recruiting continues, it is a very difficult situation. I think that this virtual visit stuff that schools are doing, I think this is something that obviously is colleges making the best of it, obviously giving kids an opportunity to have some sort of visit experience throughout all of this to help them along in the recruiting process, to potentially have an advantage with the savvier, more clever schools. How well they do it relative to the field can even that playing field a little bit. I also think this is something that could endure. This could be a thing where I think a lot of aspects of society after this are going to change fundamentally, because we will have been isolated from one another for months. And a lot of businesses are going to realize, hey, a lot of this stuff that we just did to get through this makes some sustainable sense. Situations where perhaps more companies go remote to save overhead costs in some capacity, because it is workable for a lot of people, for a lot of businesses. And I think, you know, the college recruiting game could be one of those deals where obviously you would much rather have a kid on your campus for a visit. That kid would much rather be on your campus for a visit. That is the healthiest of the situations possible. But if you keep the virtual visit in your portfolio, so to speak, of things you can do, perhaps that could be part of it. Perhaps you can have more, you can get more visits in with more kids. Perhaps you give them that as an option relative to if you can't get them on your campus for an actual in-person visit. It could allow kids an opportunity to see in some way, shape, or form more schools than they would otherwise. It could freshen up visits. Maybe you could get an official visit, but then months later, if the kid hasn't decided yet, you can have him come for a virtual visit. That way you stay top of mind with them. You kind of keep at the forefront of their consciousness. It is something that may really matter. Perhaps one day the in-home visit to save travel expense, to save time, to save whatever it may be, perhaps the in-home visit goes online in some way, shape, or form. I'm not saying the days are over where the head coach travels to a kid's house, sits down with the family, has dinner, has the formal traditional in-home visit, but perhaps it's an option if you can't do that to do this instead. That way there's just more contact you have with people. It's not the same, but it is something. And the more opportunity kids have to see and interact with coaches more often, the better decision they make, the better the relationship coaches could potentially have with that player. I'm quite certain college staffs are using FaceTime up to this point. They have exhausted probably every communication technique possible prior to this even happening, but this might even take it to another level where the virtual visit thing, if you just keep it in your portfolio, so to speak, perhaps that allows a kid from wherever to get a virtual visit from a player from really far away who it might not otherwise get a visit from because of the sheer logistics involved. And I'm talking mostly unofficial visits. Obviously, for official visits, you could the school can pay for the visit, so that's less of a deal. But these spring visit tours these kids go on in March and April require a hell of a lot of time and a hell of a lot of money. And you do kind of wonder if perhaps the first wave of the recruiting process doesn't in some capacity turn into something that's done online as much as it is in person. I don't think that day will ever come where it's entirely that way, but it might be a little bit of an option just for an introductory sort of visit. And then on the back end in December and January, when you're closing out your recruiting class, you just want to be the last voice in somebody's ear. Perhaps it could matter then too, because the virtual visit wouldn't be regulated most likely the way a standard official visit would be, where you can only get five. So that could be something where this pushes football recruiting even more and more virtual, which was happening anyway because of the just simple trending as technology advances. But I do think the online workarounds that schools are having to resort to during this moratorium on recruiting could present some ideas for kind of future innovation and future mainstreaming of such things as fundamental parts of the college football recruiting process. But this is obviously an atypical year. Clearly, I think, again, this should be concerning to everybody involved that both sides of this are going to be making decisions based on far from ideal levels of information. But we will see how it turns out for everybody. Obviously, everybody's in the same boat here. Everybody's working from the same set of conditions on the ground. I do think there are advantages to be had for people who recruit mostly from their home region, who've already had players on their campuses quite a bit, who already have kind of that familiarity. There's advantages for the people who get out in front of recruiting a lot better than others. And there's advantages to not being located in the middle of nowhere. If this hurts anybody, I could see this hurting like a Nebraska, who's not going to get kids from Chicago coming through its campus for unofficial visits or anything like that. Won't be able to presumably host. I should add this. It is possible that June opens up, official visits can resume. If that happens, again, this really isn't all of that far off schedule, because that's really the most important month of this whole process. What's been lost so far is important, but not as important as June. I don't think camps will happen. That just doesn't seem to make sense. But if official visits can still happen, recruits will still have the opportunity to take those really substantive trips before deciding. But to this point, obviously, things have been stunted pretty considerably, and it is going to affect the process really, really to a meaningful extent. So That's kind of what I got here for that topic today. I hope you found that interesting. I know that's kind of recruiting nerddom, whatnot, but that's what I got. So we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, Tuesday, May 5th. This has been your GoldenBlack.com Daily Quarantine Simulcast. Once again, brought to you by Thoughts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Want to remind you once again, if you're looking for a great dinner, looking to support our local business, preferably both, please keep in mind the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, East End Grill in Lafayette, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn, all of which remain open for carryout orders. They'd love to hear from you, so please keep them in mind. Thanks, everybody.